he gets the ball jarred loose. Maybe he's run for many yards. It looks like he's going to make a touchdown. He's going to make a great gain. And then somebody just in desperation slips that ball out of his hands, and he loses his grip on the football. Now, we're not saved, and we don't go to heaven because of our grip, but once we are saved and we make commitments to God, he wants us to tighten our grip on our commitments to God. And in the book of Hebrews that we're looking at today, it was written, I believe, by a young writer called Saul of Tarsus before he became the Apostle Paul. And he was writing to people in the early church, and was all Jews. Everybody in the early church were Jewish people, and they had practiced Judaism, and they were used to doing that, and now they were meeting with the early church, and many of their friends and their relatives said, that's a cult, that's a fake thing, that is not true Judaism, it's not the worship of Yeshem, you guys are not real, you don't have a high priest, you don't have the sacrifices and all of the things that God gave Moses. And so, you know, they basically cut them off and they disregarded them. And they had said that Jesus was the Messiah, and they said, how could Jesus be the Messiah? He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, supposedly. And the Messiah comes. He's going to bring in world peace. Jesus didn't bring in world peace. He's not a Messiah. He's just a faker and a charlatan. And many of his followers that had claimed to believe in Jesus, they left the church and went back to their old religion. And that was the place where the fun picnics were, the fellowship was, all the good things with their family was. And they went back and they dropped out of church because church was somebody that was looked down upon. And the ones that stayed, they were tempted to loosen their grip on their commitments to the Lord and to the church gatherings and to reading the Bible and to speaking up for Jesus Christ. I wonder, have you ever been tempted because of people in your life or things in your life to loosen up your grip on your commitments to the Lord and to the church? Have you been tempted to slacken your grip on church meetings, or let go of soul winning outreaches, or let go of attendance at church services? Maybe you felt discouraged by your own failures to do what the Bible says, and you just are tired of failing, and so you just say, I'm going to drop out of this race. I can't keep running this race. I'm tired of falling down on the job and failing. And really, the reality of your failures and your sins are brought out in verse 13 of chapter 4 here that was read this morning. I'm going to read it. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees every sin we do. God sees every failure that we do. God sees every word we ever say that's wrong. And that can be intimidated, and we can get discouraged and say, God sees all this. He's looking down at me, and I just can't keep going. I'm wanting to drop out. Well, the message then is for you this morning. It's called Why You Should Tighten Your Grip. Why you should tighten your grip concerning your faith in Jesus, your profession of faith in him. And I want to show you from Hebrews chapter 4, 13 through 16, three key reasons of why you should not give up your profession of faith or slacken your grip on your commitments to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to not only keep on keeping on, but to listen to me, to be more solid than ever about your faith, to be more tightly grasping on to your commitments to Jesus Christ than ever before, even when you don't feel like it. And so the message is why you should tighten your grip. But I have three things I want to tell you as a reason why you can keep on keeping on. Number one, because of your peerless high priest. Peerless high priest. That means there's nobody like him. There's nobody to compare to him. Now, last year, the Catholics got a new pope. He's from America, and some Catholics are excited about having this new pope. And he was installed in the Vatican in Rome, Italy, and he is the head of the Catholic Church. That means the universal church. And it's called the Roman Universal Church. He's the head of that church. And if your name is written in Rome, even if you drop out of the church, your name is still there. I guess, Mary, your name would be there somewhere in Rome. You're part of that universal church. And yet, the Bible says that the head of the church is not the Pope in Rome. It says in verse 14 of chapter 4 that it is not the Pope in Rome. Look at verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. I don't see the Pope in heaven being a high priest. He's a priest on earth. He does things for people on earth. But he can't get you to heaven. And the Jewish high priest couldn't get anybody to heaven either, because he was offering every year new sacrifices that just covered sin but couldn't take away sin. And that's why the true high priest had the one final sacrifice of himself, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he, according to Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, he sacrificed himself to pay for our sins. And so when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all your sins are paid for by Jesus. You don't have to keep going back to the priest for confession. You don't have to keep going back, to the priest to get things covered for another week or so or month or whatever. You are cleansed once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore Jesus is the head of the church, and that is what the Bible teaches very clearly here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And notice it says that our high priest is greater. He is greater, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, why is it that they wanted to go back to their priest? Well, because they couldn't see their priest. He's invisible. Jesus is invisible. I don't see him, but I know he's alive. I know that he's real. I know that Jesus Christ right now is praying for me. He's praying for us. And I have faith that Jesus died and paid for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he has a home in heaven waiting for us, and he's up there praying for us right now, that if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you're a born-again believer, that he's praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. He's praying for you that your faith doesn't fail, and he's on duty 24/7. I doubt the Pope is on duty 24/7, right? He's probably sleeping a lot of time. He's not on duty. And I'm saying that these popes get old and they die. Jesus never is going to die again. He's ever living to make intercession. We're talking about holding on to your grip, to your commitments. You don't have to give them up because of the great, peerless high priest that you have. The Bible says that their rock is not our rock. It says our rock, capital R, is not their rock, small r. See, their rock is like a rock that rolls, you see? It's not stationary. Our rock is Jesus Christ. He is the rock of my salvation. And I'm standing upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Christ alone to save you? Then you don't have to give up on following him. You don't have to slacken your grip on your commitments to him, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change from day to day. I've been taking some micronized creatine. I think it's making me nauseated, Brother Bob. I think I got that side effect. I'm going to have to lay off it for a while. I get nausea in the morning. I get morning sickness like ladies that are pregnant. And I'm saying to you, I change from day to day. You know, I got harder muscles from taking the micronized creatine. I like it, but I don't like that nausea. I might have to lay off that. I'm just saying to you, we change. Jesus never changes. And even when I'm not feeling well, I can press on because I know that I've got a greater high priest. He's not just an imaginary priest like the priests were in the Old Testament when it was done. Jesus ended that priesthood. Amen. It's over. He said it's finished. The temple curtain was ripped in two when he died on that cross. He ended priesthood like that. And we don't go through a priest on earth anymore. And thank God for that. We have a priest in heaven. He's a better high priest. And he's a peerless high priest. He's incomparable to anybody else. And yet these people were leaving him because he was invisible and is invisible, to go back to the flesh and blood. I can touch. I can see a man. Let me tell you, they touched Elvis Presley. You know, Elvis was the king of rock and roll. And I remember Elvis in his heyday, good-looking young guy, you know, swiveled his hips and girls fainted. I remember Elvis as he got older and he got fatter and he got sadder, and but he was still going, you know. And I remember the last time he sang, it was in the 1970s, and he had this white outfit on, and he had these white cloth, a white cloth around his neck, and he'd be singing and rubbing on that white cloth, and these girls, ladies, would be fainting in the audience, and he would take it off and give it to them, and they'd go, "Oh, Elvis." And then the guy put another one on his neck, and he'd do another one. You see, he was a god to these people. What a poor god a man is. A man is a man. Elvis, he was the king, and he died on the throne. He was on the toilet when he died. He's just a man. He's just a man. And a priest is just a man. He's not God's priest. God's priest is Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. And he will put you in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll know your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because Jesus and the Father, they put you in that Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. And when you're putting your faith in him, you can know that I am in the Book of Life. And I can never be cast into hell because Jesus put his blood down there to pay for my sin. And so he's a peerless priest. There's nobody like him. Our rock is not their rock. And the Catholics are excited about their pope, but the Catholic pope and the Catholic priest, they sin. They sin. I heard of a Catholic priest down in Florida. He was actually blackmailing people that went to confession. He had their confessions on recording. And he was getting money for them to confess. Listen, don't be stupid enough to confess your sins to a priest. And not only that, some of these ladies, they confessed their sins to these priests, and they took advantage of them in a physical way. And a lot of that goes on, and we've heard a lot about that stuff. And not only that, but the Catholic Pope dies, just like the Jewish high priest died. They get old and they die. They're human, and ours has an endless life. He never gets old. He never gets weaker. He never gets tired. Their popes and their priests are human beings. Ours is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ. And since your high priest is peerless, better than theirs, you should not let go of your profession of your faith. You should not let go of telling your friends about Jesus, telling others about Jesus, even when you get opposed, even when people say, I don't want to go to your church. I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. You should keep going anyway. You should stay with it. You should stay with your commitments, because someday Jesus is going to appear and he's not going to be invisible. Amen? He's going to appear when the darkest day comes. The Bible says there's going to be no light. God's going to turn off the lights. It's going to be dark and the world is going to have all kind of fear and they're going to faint. They're going to realize, uh-oh, now God's wrath is going to come on us. Now I have to answer for my sin and my rejection of Jesus Christ, because they're going to see him in the clouds and his light will shine, and the Bible says the world will mourn. I'll tell you what, I don't plan to mourn. I plan to go, praise God. My redemption is here. My final salvation is here. But I'm going to be glad when that happens, that I kept going to church, that I kept going to Sunday school, that I kept taking the Lord's table, that I kept on baptizing people and witnessing to people so they could get saved. And once you're saved, then you get baptized and you profess your faith. I'm glad that we're doing that, because that's what Jesus told us to do. So you see, this is why you should not lose your grip on your faith commitments to the Lord, because he will never lose his grip on you. My daughter one time, you know, she, ever since Eric Slobodnik went to heaven and she got that shocking news, she was afraid to fly. And one time she texted me and said, pray for me, I have to fly, I'm afraid to fly. My youngest daughter, Brooke. And I text her back the verse in Deuteronomy that said, underneath are the everlasting arms. and you see, they're invisible arms, but they're holding you up and they're holding me up, because Jesus is not only at the right hand of the Father in a physical body, a human body, but he's everywhere, because he also is God. And he's, the Bible says it, he's holding all things together by the word of his power. They can't explain what makes the atom hold together, what makes the nucleus of the atom and the electrons that circulate in the, what holds all this together, why it doesn't just split apart and go apart. It's the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds everything together. And he's in control of everything. You may think things are out of control. You see sickness and death. No, he's working out his purpose in it all. He is using even the devil to work out his plan. Yes, the devil has great power, but don't ever think he has all power. Our high priest is omnipotent, omniscient. He has all power. He's peerless. That is the reason why. Why should we go back to a dead religion? Why should we worship a rock and roll God? He's the rock that rolls. We worship the rock that doesn't roll, and thank God for that. And so I'm saying why you should tighten your grip, not loosen it, because of your peerless high priest. But there's a second thing I would like to say about that, and that is because of your personal high priest. Look at verse 15 of Hebrews 4. I'll read it. It says there, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You say, I understand he's peerless. I understand he's high. I understand he's lifted up. I understand the greatness of our high priest. But how about me and my needs? Well, he's personal, right? I remember when I got saved, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if you're here today and you're not saved, he wants to be your personal Savior. He wants you to make use of Him with your sin problem and to go to Him and put your trust in Him, and He becomes your personal Savior. And I know that He not only is high and lifted up in God, but He knew what it was like to be a human being. He knew what it was like to get tired. He knew what it was like to feel lonely. He knew what it was like to be cold or too hot. He knew what it was like to suffer rejection by people, even in His own family. And He felt the emotions that we feel. Sometimes I'm counseling people and they'll say, I just hurt so much. I'm going through rejection. I'm going through pain. I'm going through memories of people hurting me that I love. And I'll say to them, yes, you're a human being, and so is Jesus. He was at all points tempted like as we are. He knew what it was like to feel pain and weakness, and yet He kept going. Did He give up? No. Did He give up when he knew they were going to kill Him? And no, He kept going for you, even though He understands you. You know, God knows everything, but God hasn't experienced what you've experienced. But Jesus is God, and He has. He understands you in a personal way. You know, He got in your moccasin, so to speak. He lived in this world for 33 and a half years. And yeah, He didn't sin one time. He didn't fail one time. But He didn't quit, even though He was tempted by Satan and by the world around Him and felt all these rejections and all these emotions that we feel. And you know what? He finished the work that God gave him to do. You know, I don't like it when a person doesn't finish a job. When they're given a job, they need to finish that job. Elgin Gano, when he does a job, he finishes that job. Amen? He does that job and he finishes it. And Jesus, He was given a job to do, and that is to represent us and to be counted guilty for our sins. And He didn't quit until He had given His life for our sins. And then He said, it is finished. I am done. I'm finished. I had a friend of mine. He was a pastor, and he went into the ministry of being a pastor. And one time I was talking to this guy, and he said, you know what? I was a senior pastor for 4 years. He said, I paid my dues. And I thought to myself, 4 years? Try 48 years. I paid my dues? You know what? I decided a long time ago, I'm going to bury myself in Scranton Revival Baptist Church and in the ministries God gives me here in Scranton Revival Baptist Church until God blasts me out. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Some things are fun. Some things are not so fun. But you know what? I'm going to tighten my grip on what God wants me to do. I'm going to stay with it until God blasts me out. I've said many times through the course of my ministry, my father-in-law many years ago, 48 years ago, he said, I will make you vice president of the company. I'll give you a company car. You will be like your brothers-in-law. They had their company cars. One of them had a yacht. They're going to have all this South Florida living, you know. He said, you can have that. And I said, I'm called to Scranton, Pennsylvania. I need to go to Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I left there all these many years ago. And I have said, if God wants me to pastor in Florida, all He has to do is whisper. I've never heard a whisper from God since I left there. But I tell you what, I'm seeking to tighten my grip upon what God has given me here. When I turned 70, I said, I'm going to really tighten my grip about what God has given me here. And as long as He gives me strength, as long as He gives me breath, as long as I am going to fight the devil. I am going to preach the good news about Jesus Christ. And the good news is you don't have to join the Catholic Church or the Jewish religion or the Islamic religion. You don't have to do good works to get to heaven. The Bible says He did the work. He paid paid for the sins of the world. And if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved. That moment, and you can get baptized. And I talked to a lady yesterday. She said, I didn't understand that, Pastor. Eric Rodriguez led her to the Lord. Her name is Amber. She said, I didn't understand that. I said, well, who led you to the Lord? She said, Eric. And she told me about it. Amber up there in Bangor. And I said, she said, I'll get baptized. Now, she didn't come today or she would have got baptized. Amber and Eduardo, thank God for the truth of the good news that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved and you've got a home in heaven. And so don't give up on your commitments. He's real. Jesus is real. I've said many times, Winston Smith used to be a member of this church. He's now in Kingston, Jamaica. I believe he's retiring now. Winston Smith. I was a college student with him. He's retiring in Kingston. And our first pastor, Charlie Ware, is going down there to preach for him for his retirement. I believe this is happening now. I saw it on Facebook. So that's going to happen. I remember Winston Smith when he was here in this church. Charlie Ware was here back in the day. I remember we used to have our prayer meetings on Clay Avenue on Wednesday night in an apartment of Tom and Rhonda Schopp. And Winston would be praying. He would say, Lord, you're so real, it's like we can reach up and touch you. You know, Jesus is real. He answers prayer. This morning, my secretary awakened me at 6 a.m. Well, I was already awake, but I was afraid when I heard the phone ring. My wife answered it. And I said, oh, whenever a phone rings Sunday morning, that's not good. And one of our bus drivers was too sick to drive for the Carbondale bus. And so the secretary said, what do we do? I need to know what to do. And I came up with these ideas, and all of them were shot down. Everyone we tried to call or text, the phones were off. And I thought, what am I going to do? I was just about out of options. But you know what I was doing? I was praying to God in Jesus' name. You know, Lord, you help. And I said, Lord, you got this. This is your work. I'm not the head of this church. The Lord is the head of this church. Isn't that good? I'm glad I'm not the head. Jesus is the head. And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to help us out here. And I was out of option. Then I got an idea. Wait a minute. We called on the phone, but let me just walk up to Kyle's apartment. I only live a walking distance away. So there I go, walking up in the wee hours of the early morning here, and started. And I did it three times. His wife didn't wake up, she said, but Kyle woke her up. Finally, I left. Though I was getting no answer, I left. But don't think your door knocking doesn't have a power. So Kyle called me up and said, what do you need? And I said, I need a driver. He said, I'll do it. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. You see, the Lord is personal with us. And he knows what you're going through. He knows your problems. And you can take your burdens to the Lord. And he is real. And he feels what you feel. You know, I sometimes have people counsel with me. Pastor, you know when people get a hold of me a lot of times? It's when they're really down. It's like really bad. Bad things are happening. Then they'll call me. Well, you know, I'm only too happy to help. I'm only too happy to help, to be there for them, especially when I know they're really going through a hard time. Everything's being ripped out of their life, and they need the man of God. They need somebody with flesh and blood. I'm there for that. I'm there for that. But let's be reminded that Jesus feels what you feel. He said to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? Because Saul was throwing Christians in jail, and he feels it. Sometimes people say, well, why would the Lord let me go through this? Well, think of what he went through. You're sharing in his sufferings. He's letting you go through things, and he's going to reward you for it. Listen, if it didn't cost you anything, it wouldn't be worth anything. It's when it costs you something. And he wants you to experience that. And so it doesn't mean he doesn't care. Doesn't mean he doesn't feel what you're going through. Many times I've said it. My father-in-law was a good example to me of that in Florida. My wife's dad, when his wife got pregnant, she would get the huff and puffs when she went up stairs, you know. You know what how many know what the huff and puffs are? It's when you get pregnant and you're going upstairs, you get the huff and puffs. I don't know what it is. I've never been pregnant. Never. Don't intend to be. Don't intend to be. But you get the huff and puffs, you know. And then I remember my wife, she would be around the toilet with her arms around it. I mean, all of that is part of it. And my father-in-law, you know, I can't say this about myself. I didn't get the huff and puffs when my wife got the huff and puffs. I didn't throw up. But my father-in-law did. When his wife threw up, he threw up. When she got the huff and puffs, he got the huff and puffs. He had such an empathetic way about him that he so much felt what she felt that he literally experienced it. That is a picture of Jesus. How personal he is. He's not only peerless, incomparable, but he's personal. And he feels what you feel. And that's a reason you don't need to quit or to give up. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Too many of us are carrying burdens that we could give over to the Lord. And he would gladly take them from us if we would stop holding on to them. Lose your grip on your burdens. Give them to God, your worries, your cares. Tighten your grips on your commitments of faith to the Lord. You know, I appreciate people that have compassion. I remember I had a real tough day one time. It was a Saturday last year, and I was on bus ministry knocking on doors. I had doors slammed in my face. I had rejection, you know. Went through that, and I came home, and I had to cut my whole grass, about 2 acres, a big lawn. And I know I have a riding lawnmower, so you say, what are you complaining about? Well, it's still a lot of time and a lot of work. I had to get on that thing and go, and I'm ready to do it. And Matt McWhorter, his profession is a lawn guy, landscaping, and Matt saw me working out there, and he came and brought his weed whackers, and he's just out there helping me weed whack that whole thing. It looked so good, and it was such a blessing. See, the Lord knows when you're going through it, and he comes and helps you. Sometimes when you're at the end, you're at wit's end, he comes, and he comes through, and he helps you. So don't give up. You know, back in the day, the devil had a big lie to the Catholic Church. And Martin Luther was a Catholic priest back in those days. And people would feel like they have to beat themselves with whips. And they would do that. But you know what? Jesus cared for them. And he loved them. And they would say, you have to go to Mary because Mary is kinder than Jesus because she's a woman and a mother. I'm here to tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. And Mary can never help you. She's just a person. You have to go through Jesus. Jesus is peerless. He's personal and he's powerful. Look at verse 16. And I'll be done. It says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy is when you fail and fail and fail and you get messed up because of your sin. He's able to forgive you and say, I'll pick you back up again. You get knocked down, I'll pick you back up. You know, a fighter that keeps getting knocked down, he's not a loser because he keeps getting back up. But is he a winner? No. But he says he not only gives you mercy, he'll pick you back up, but you can get grace, which means the ability to keep standing and to win. Maybe you've been losing and you keep getting back up. Good. That's good because Jesus, 70 times 7, you confess your sin, he'll take you back up. But he'll also give you grace so that you don't have to keep failing. You can go to him for that. He's powerful. And so why should you tighten your grip? Because of your peerless high priest, because of your personal high priest, and your powerful, your all-powerful high priest. He will give you what you need so that you can succeed. Praise God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about a